This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good morning, Bridges Church. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. Good to have you here. As we get started, if you haven't had a chance yet to pull up the app and get to the message notes, go ahead and do that. If you don't have the app, behind me is a QR code that you can pull it up, and message notes will tell you how to get the app and get the announcements and all that stuff, and you can follow along. Also, ask you to turn in John chapter 9. We've been studying John and going through the book of John this year. So John chapter 9 is where we're going to land today, and you can get all that ready and prepared as we get ready to dive into God's Word. And as you're doing all that, one more thing. Today, we've already mentioned it's Father's Day, okay? So what I want to do, because this is first service, and there are people here that got up early, men that got up here early, and we did this on Mother's Day. We just want to clap on for online people and in-service people. Let's give our fathers and father figures a hand today. Can you just help me do that? Let's give them a hand clap. God has blessed us in so many different ways, and we just appreciate you guys being here today. As we start today, I'm going to start with a question that you probably have asked yourself at some point. There's different levels of this question. If you haven't asked it for yourself, you might have asked it for someone else. There's different ways of saying it. So here's the question that maybe you've thought of at some point. It's a really short question, but here's the question. It's why me? It's the why me question. And like it can kind of start like a pity party kind of question, like on a surface level, like you might have joked about it. And I will have to do this first service. There's a person that gave me this. I told him I've given 6% royalties for this, and so I'm thanking the person now. You gave me this opening, so it's for you. And they know who they are. I think they were 90% joking and 10% serious about something that happened to them. And their first thing when I went to go visit them was, why me? I said, that's what I need for Sunday. Thank you so much. So you get credit for it today. You know who you are. But the why me question is just a powerful question, isn't it? It can be like you might have asked it one sometime for something positive that happened, like why me? Why did I get to enjoy that? But for most of us, the why me question is, why did this happen? Like, it's something difficult, something you have to go through, and you go, why did it happen to me, or why now? That's a kind of an alternative of the question, like everything was going well, and you go, why now has this got to happen? Like, I thought everything was going positive, everything was going well, and so the why me can become why now. And then it might be the question, what did I do to deserve this? You ever ask that question? Like, did I do something wrong? Am I heading in the wrong direction? Why did this happen? It's this thing that we think about. And it could happen at any level. It could be like you were saying, why me? Because you were at a job and you got laid off. And you looked around the room and you go, of all the people that got laid off, why me? Like, I work harder than that person over there. I do more than that person. Why did they pick me? It could be at that level. It could be like you look at your life situation and go, why me? Did I get the loan at 9%, and then everything kind of fell from there, you know. There, or maybe you bought at 3%, and now you're trying to buy something else. Now it's 10%. You go, why us, why now? That's part of that question, right? Why did we do that? Why did we kind of take that route? It can go kind of heavier, though. Why me? When you get sick, a type of sickness may cause us to ask the why me question. Why cancer? Why did this happen to me? Why did I have that heart condition? Why was I born with this? And it could be part of something you had with a child, which makes it even more difficult. Why me and why them and why at this time? And so we process this differently. And yet the Bible talks about so many different things. And I think the life of Jesus just gives us hope. And I think Jesus addresses that question, why me, today and what we're going to look at. Because in the book of John, we're just tracking the life of Jesus, shining a spotlight on him and go, okay, that's who we want to be like. What does he have to say about our life? So John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, we're going to get introduced to an individual that certainly could have asked this question, why me? Maybe he did. And the disciples kind of ask a similar question that we're going to deal with today. And at the end of this, I hope that we kind of have some hope ourselves about what God is doing and what's happening when these things happen in our life. So I'm going to read John 9, 1 through 7. Then we're going to go back and look at it. If you have the journal, that's a great thing to do. You might want to circle some words today. There are journals between the two doors. There's a table back there if you want one. So this is after the Feast of the Tabernacles, which we've been in kind of for a few weeks. New setting, new direction. Verse 1. As he, Jesus, passed by, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that, this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Let's pray before we move over this again. Father God, this was an event in the life of Jesus that just stands out so much. John wanted us to know about it through your Holy Spirit. I pray that it's just not an ancient document that we're looking at today, but a living word, your living word that can speak to us, speak to each one of us in the situations we find ourselves now. And I pray that you will say the things we need to hear to be encouraged to grow and to live out the lives ahead of us. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If we go back through these verses, and I hope that you will, we're just going to pull them apart a little bit and examine what's there. Verse 1, as we hit that, it says, Jesus passed by. He saw a man born or blind from birth. And just real quick, I want you to notice that Jesus noticed. He's passing by, and the scripture is very clear that this is not some random happening, not just accident. He's going by, and he noticed, he saw this man. He just pulled him out of maybe a crowd. We don't know the situation fully, but we know Jesus noticed him. And there's always this comfort I get from the little words in scripture. When it says Jesus saw, it reminds me that he just sees us too. So if you're in a why me moment right now, I want you to know that Jesus sees you in that moment. You're not alone. You're not going through this by yourself. And John hits this over and over and over again because he wants us to get it over and over again. When you go through the tough times, he sees and he knows and he's there. And then it says his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, this is a question the man may have asked at some point. Whose fault is this? The disciples certainly are asking the question, but I wonder if the man ever asked that question. Whose fault is this? You know, did my parents do something that God's punishing us for? Am I going to do something, or have I done something that's caused this to happen to me? It's that, did I do something question, and maybe you've asked that yourself before. And he's wrestling with this perhaps, and they say it in front of him. And I want to say something about disciples for a moment. They're treating him like an object of a theological discussion. I mean, the man's right there, right? And in front of him, they go, whose fault is this? Whose fault is this? And they totally ignore there's a human being in front of them. And they just totally ignore the fact that Jesus has gone around healing people of blindness. It's the number one sign that Jesus would do as the Messiah. He would bring people their sight back. I mean, this is something we're told in the Old Testament. This is something the Messiah will have done. So he's done this. Why don't the disciples go, hey, Jesus, here's a blind guy. Well, you should heal him. Instead, they go, okay, Jesus, whose fault is this? And it's a great reminder to us that whenever we see people, don't look at people and go, the poor, or that person's different race than I am, and lump them together. It really shows the disciples in this kind of a place where their hearts aren't soft yet. So they're treating this guy as a theological discussion. Whose fault is this? And he can hear them. He can hear them. Just kind of a reminder. But Jesus doesn't let that pass, because that's not how Jesus saw him. So Jesus answered in the next verse and said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, just take that off the table, but the works of God might be displayed in him, which is hugely important for those of us in a why me moment. It's hugely important. So let's deal with that for a second, okay? What's he saying? First of all, he's saying there's no such thing as karma. Sometimes as Christians, we get karma mixed into our belief system, right? Somebody did something bad, so something bad happened, right? It's in our culture. It just tells us there's a reason for this. Trace it back. Somebody somewhere did something wrong. Knock on wood, right? It's part of our culture. Jesus said there's no such thing as karma. But there is a thing called sin. So let's kind of work through the idea of sin happening, because he's going to take that off the table. First of all, sin is in our world. Sin has corrupted the world. It's not like it used to be. It's getting worse, right? It even affects creation, the scriptures tell us that creation's groaning because it's of what it's going through. So sin has corrupted our world. Bad things happen. That's the first thing to know. We live in a world that's broken. It's beautiful, but broken. That's what sin does. Second thing to know is that certain sins or some sins do have direct consequences, right? Certain sins do have direct consequences. If you drive too fast and you get a ticket, it's like your fault, right? It's like, I did it. Just give me the ticket, right? You ever try to talk your way out of it? I didn't really do it. I've used this story before, but when Ethan was really little, I took him with me to the police, up to the post office, and I turned right on red. And I pulled into the post office, the police went right behind us, and he goes, did you turn right on red? I said, yes. And he goes, did you see the sign? No, I didn't see the sign. Well, there was a sign that says no right on red, okay? I did it. I deserve a ticket. But the cool thing was, not cool for them, but cool for me, right behind us, a person hit another car and then took off out of the parking lot. So the cop said, don't ever do it again, got in his car and went after them. So I was saved. We were saved. But I was guilty, okay? There are certain sins that cause direct action. Hit and run, police was right there. He did in front of him. He got caught on hope. I don't know what happened. There are certain sins that we do, certain things that we do that have consequences. If we drink and drive, and we get caught, you could lose your job, like a very famous basketball coach did this weekend. And he crossed the line. There's direct consequences. Next thing, though, is that some bad things happen are not necessarily due to a specific sin, right? There are bad things that happen that you can't point to a specific sin that happened. Sometimes innocent people get caught up in someone else's sin. That's in the second part. But the third part is some things just happen because we live in a broken world, and you can't trace it to a specific sin. The fourth thing is the huge thing. The fourth thing is that hard times, according to Jesus, are an opportunity to see God at work. If you have the journal, if you like to write in your Bibles or highlight, go back to the one that says right here, this happened, that the works of God might be displayed in him. Some difficult things, many difficult things, for those that are followers of Jesus, all difficult things are an opportunity to see God at work. He didn't cause it. It's an opportunity to see God at work. That's what faith tells us. To see it through, that God is going to use this to work. And we're going to see this happen in the man's life. I have a good friend that really has lived a difficult life. A lot of very difficult choices, a lot of bad choices, by their own admittance. When he was married, this person was married, he and his wife did a lot of stuff. They drank a lot. She got pregnant. The child was born with fetal alcohol syndrome. A lot of complications, multiple surgeries, a lot of cognitive issues for this child. They tried to raise the child. They gave it to adoption. Years pass. So I'm hanging out with my phone, kind of bored, right? And I go, he was telling me the story. I said, why don't we just see what happened? And you can find almost anything on Facebook, right? Found on Facebook, this child had grown up, young adult, and they have a video, how people post videos, and she's playing the guitar, and she's learned how to do worship. And so I contacted the adoptive mom, and I just said, here, I'm with this person. He doesn't want to contact you. There's not going to be a meeting. Take that off the table. You just want to know what happened. Well, the daughter grew up. She lives on her own, kind of independently. She works a few hours every week. And she goes, she could talk, which is huge. She could talk. And not only can she talk, she prays beautiful prayers. She does a devotion every day. And she loves the Lord. And that's all we had to hear. It's all you had to hear, right? It's like, she's good. God took care of it. It was a very difficult situation. Have no control over it, but God used it. God used it to bring something beautiful over multiple years, okay? And I think this is what Jesus is saying. Look, this has happened, but I want you to know it's happened so you can see the work of God in it. That the work of God can be displayed in life. And when you're in the middle of the why me question, you're like going, I don't see it. And that's the whole point, right? You can't see it when you're in the middle of it. Only backwards can you see it. When you see what God was doing in the midst of it. And I kind of wish that part of the story was kind of done, but it continues, right? He says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's just saying the world is dark. Dark things happen. Just know it. But I'm the light. I'm the light. And the light shines brightest when it's darkest. When I got here this morning, they were practicing. It was like dark, dark, dark in here. And when you walk in from the light and you walk into a dark room, you ever done this before? You're like, you kind of trip and you go, I didn't really trip. I kind of did that coming in. And I mentioned, we need to have some light so we can see. And the thing is, if I had a flashlight, I would have turned it on. But if I turned a flashlight on right now, what would happen? You couldn't even see it. When the light is gone, when it's dark, you can see the flashlight. In a dark world, you can see the light of Jesus so much brighter. And that's what Jesus is saying. In a dark world, I'm here to show the light. And that's what he does every single day. And then the next part happens that I'd love to sit down and talk to you some about because I still haven't figured this out. Having said these things, Jesus spit on the ground and he made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed. This is so different. I've read commentaries, I've talked to people, why did Jesus do this? You ever ask the why question? Not just why me, but why this? It's like, okay, John has seven signs of the Messiah. First one, water to wine. The guys poured water into jars and it turned into wine. That's beautiful, right? The next sign that Jesus did was, he's in Cana. This man walks to go see him. He says, my son's sick. He walked 20 miles to see him. Jesus says, your son's healed. The man goes back. Halfway home, the servants meet him. Your son's healed. Everything's good. I mean, all the guy had to do was walk home. Third sign is clearing the temple. It's not a miracle. It's just Jesus is zealous for the house. But everybody just sitting around just, you know, watching this. There's a man who couldn't walk for 38 years. Jesus said, take your mat and walk. And he did. It was that simple. Feeding the crowd, what did they have to do? Sit down and get fed. I can do that. That's one I can do. Sit down and be fed, okay, I can do that every day. And this one's different. This one's different. Remember, he's blind, so what happens, you know, to people who are blind, their senses are high, right? Their other senses take over. So what does he hear? What does he hear? Jesus spitting. He hears him spitting. He gets it. He probably hears the spit hit the ground. And what does he feel next? I mean, for those that are visceral people, this is like stop here already. Just close your ears. Otherwise, you can close your eyes. I mean, what does he feel next? Mud on your eyes. He knows where it came from. Mud on your eyes. And I bet his sense of smell kicks in too. Mud has a certain smell to it, right? And this is like too much detail, right? But this is what happened. He's sensing all this. And he's standing there, and he's already got the indignity of someone saying, whose fault is this? Now he's got the indignity standing there blind. He's got mud on his face that came from spit. That takes a lot of spit to make mud. Go try it after service today, right? Go find your own place. Don't do it around anything cool, but don't smear it on your face. Stop there. But that's what this guy experienced. And he says, now go wash. Now the pool of Siloam is the lowest part of the city. And it's the same place that the priest came and took the water out. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. And he held the water up to represent out in the wilderness when Jesus, or when God brought water out of the rock. And he pours it on the altar. Same place, but it's the lowest part of the city. So this guy, I don't know if he ever's been there before, but he's got to work his way down, probably touching the walls as he goes. And he's got to go down there and wash. And why did he have to do every bit of this? When Jesus would touch people and they were healed. Right? Why not this time? Why not just say you're healed? Open your eyes. I think there's this progressive faith thing that's happening. Are you going to be willing to do what you have to do to see? Are you willing to obey when it's really, really difficult? You've already had a difficult life, but you're going to go through a little bit more and it's all going to be okay. That's my best guess here. And I'd love to talk to you about what you see. This is what I hear when I read it. He had to go through these different things. Never once does he complain. Never once does he question. Never once does he stop. There's something about obedience and faith that go together. You hear and you do and you go and you let God work. Obedience and faith. And I think the greater faith is needed for the greatest obstacle, right? The greatest faith is needed for the greatest obstacle. The hardest why me question requires the most faith. The hardest why me question situation requires the most faith. And here's a guy that said, I'll do it, and he does it. He goes into the pool, he comes, gets all washed, he comes and he sees that he is able to see. And now the steps he just came down, he can go up and see the, and he can see all around him. I think it's powerful. I have gotten caught in the algorithm trap. Anybody else ever gotten caught in the algorithm trap? I stopped one time and watched a video of the little child getting their glasses for the first time. Now everything is a video about children getting their glasses for the first time. Go home and do it and see what happens to you. They're wonderful, crazy videos. One that I saw first that started the whole craziness was this little kid, and they give him the little rubber glasses. You know what I'm talking about? They stretch. Never had the glasses on, so they put them on. The kid's fighting. I don't like this. This is too tight. And then they look, and it's like, they look like this, you know? They start seeing things. And then when you see them look up at the face, you know, the person taking the video, it's like they look, and then they get this grin that gets bigger and bigger. It's like, that's what you look like. I never know. And then the one I saw, they turn around and looked at dad. That's what you look like. And then the cool thing was this climbing thing in the room, and the child went up and touched it. That's what I've been climbing the whole time. You could see it on their face, this tiny little child. I have done this, but I never knew what it looked like. Now I know, because you can't tell somebody what it looks like if they can't see. But the child saw it and just grins like crazy. Now I get all these videos, right? And I'll admit, like when it happens, I get allergies in my eyes. It just happens. Like, I got to wipe my eyes a little bit because there's another joyful child. And I think about this man who's now grown, don't know how old he is, and he sees for the first time. And everything is beautiful. Everything's beautiful. And he forgets the fact that he just had mud on his face. And he forgets the fact that he had to walk away down there. And he probably forgets all the other stuff. But now it says in verse 7b, and he came back seeing. Isn't that wonderful? That is so cool. But the story continues. He's not done yet. Let's look at 8 through 11. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he's like him. He looks like him. He can't be the same guy because we've always identified him as a blind guy. And now he's not blind, so we don't sure if he's here, if it's him. And he kept saying, I am the man. I am the guy. I am the guy that used to be that. So they said to him, then how are your eyes open? What happened? This is so unusual. And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and washed. And here's my story. I went and washed and received my sight. That's all I know. That's it. And they said to him, where is he? And he said, unfortunately, I don't know. He had been introduced to Jesus, but he didn't know which one was Jesus. He didn't see him. And he had a great story to tell, which is what you get when you get through the why me story. If God's working, you have an incredible story to tell. This is what God did. But unfortunately, he's not done. The crowd brought him to the Pharisees. I'm going to kind of tell. You can read along. And he told the Pharisees, and the Pharisees said, that couldn't have happened because that's a Sabbath day, and that guy couldn't have healed you because he broke the rules. If he broke the rules, he's a sinner. So we're not really sure that's what happened. We don't really think that you were born blind. We think you're lying. Now, here's a guy so full of joy, and here's the joy stealers, right? You ever had a joy stealer? This great thing happened to me. Oh, yeah, it couldn't have. And they tell you all the reasons why it's not good. And then you came out of this with joy, and now you don't have any joy. Well, that's what happened. Couldn't be born blind. That's not possible. So they went to his parents, and the parents are a little bit concerned because they're afraid of these guys. They're going to kick us out of the synagogue if we tell the truth. And so they said, look, all we know is this. That's our kid. That's our son. He was born blind. And he's of age. Go talk to him. We don't want to be bothered with this. So they went back to him. And they said, look, God did this. Give glory to God. But Jesus couldn't have done it because he's a sinner. And then verse 25, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. This man answered, whether he's a sinner, I don't know that question. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. If you've ever heard the song Amazing Grace, and you probably have, that's where it's pulled from. I was blind, but now I see. Because I don't know why this happened. I don't really know what Jesus did. I don't know why I had to wear the mud. I don't know why I had to go be baptized. I don't care about any of this stuff. All I know is I was blind, now I see. That's my story. That's my story. Powerful, powerful. And basically saying, why me? But flip it. Why did he pick me for something good? Why did I deserve this? I didn't. Why did he heal me of all the people? I don't know why. Not going to bother with the question. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. People are trying to have a child and they can't get pregnant and suddenly get pregnant. Why? Why, God, did you choose to bless us in that way? Someone who's laid off and a better job comes on. God, why did you choose me to get a better job because my friends are still seeking? God, why did you choose me to marry this person? This is wonderful. I'm so happy. I'm so glad. And for the person maybe that those dreams don't come true, God, I know I never had kids. I didn't ever get married. But why did you give me this wonderful ministry and this thing that I do, which I have a couple of friends that live that. And they go, why do I get to have, and they're teachers. Why do I get to love all these kids? And it's like, why did you choose me? Because it's a positive, happy, joyful thing. And that's what the guy's saying. It's only God's grace, right? It's only God's grace. And then the Pharisees jump back to joy stealers and they said, we can't see that. We don't see God's grace. Who are you to question us? They say to him. So they kick him out of the synagogue. I don't know what, if you ever laugh at stuff, it's like he just got healed. He can see for the first time in his life. So we're kicking you out of the synagogue, kicking you out of the community. I mean, why do they do this? Because they're blind. They can't see the man standing right in front of them. It's amazing stuff when you get into the scripture and go, okay, God, this is so alive. Here's a guy that can see. And they go, we're done with you, kicking you out. I wonder if he said, God, why did that happen? Why did that happen? But God had one more thing in store with him. We're going to finish with this, verses 35 to 38. Jesus heard they cast him out, and having found him. If you have the journal, if you have, circle the word found. He went looking for him. Jesus didn't wait for him to come to him. Jesus went and found him. And he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus comes and finds you at that moment. He brings you to a place. It's like, why? And he goes, I'm here. And that's all that matters. He finds you. He found it. Do you believe now? Do you believe? And he answered, and who is he, sir? I want to believe that I may believe in him. I want to find him so I can believe in him. And Jesus said this beautiful thing, you have seen him now because you can see. And it is he who is speaking to you. I'm it. And he said, Lord, I believed. And he fell down and worshiped him. Isn't that great? I love this story. It's like at the end of the day, he got to see and he got to see. He got to physically see and he got to spiritually see at the same time. And he got to be saved. All that wrapped up. And he forgot being blind. He forgot being had the mud on his face. He forgot having to go dip in the pool. Because now he's in front of Jesus and he actually sees Jesus, not just physically, but spiritually. And he worshiped him. And everything he had ever been looking for was found right there at that moment. He goes, that's worth it. That's worth it. And he worshiped. That is so cool. I love Jesus. I love what he does. He found the guy and he helped him through it. And if you're in a why me story, I want you to know Jesus is going to find you. He sees you. He's going to show up right where you are and what will you need. And the whole thing is I want a relationship with you so that you know that I was there the whole time. And that's why. That's why. Two takeaways today, and I'll give you mine and then you can use your own. They're on your outline. First thing, first takeaway from this passage, faith is the ability to see difficult times as opportunities to see God at work. It turns it upside down. Most time we're blaming God. Why am I going through this? What I got to deal with? And instead, faith says, look at what you're going through and know that you're going to see God at work. Just hang in there, keep waiting. You may get mud in your eye. Okay, I know it's a bad joke, but anyway, you may get mud in your eye, but just count on God showing up. Faith allows you to see that. Where everybody else is going, why me? You're going, God's gonna show up. He's gonna be here, and I'm just gonna do what he tells me to do. Second takeaway, it's a little bit deeper. Everyone is born into spiritual blindness and needs Jesus to open our eyes. Everyone. We're all born spiritually blind. That's throughout scripture. You might be able to see physically, but not so you see spiritually. Old Testament, Elijah and his servant. Remember Elisha and his servant. Remember the story? They're surrounded by these armies. Elisha's not worried at all. The servant's going, why us? And then Elisha says, open his eyes. Eyes are open. He saw the armies of God. He goes, the battle's already won. But I couldn't see it. Saul in the New Testament. Pharisee, top of the game, right? He can see life, but he can't see God. He's persecuting Christians. One day God made him blind so he could see physically and see spiritually. It's the same with all of us. We all are born spiritually blind. It takes Jesus to open our eyes and show us what's real. Tim Keller is a great pastor. He just passed away. He told a story one time where he was interviewing church planters. And they brought him in the room. He's with a panel of preachers, and they were talking to these guys. And the first guy came in. He says, I grew up in a church where I never heard the gospel. And then one day I heard it. I gave my life to Jesus. Now I want to start a church where people can hear the gospel. Okay. Second guy comes in, tells the same story. I grew up in a church, never heard the gospel, never once. But I heard it, and I gave my life to Jesus. I want to start a church for other people. All six of them did this. And they go, this is so strange. Did they all go to the same church? No. Then the lead guy, one of the lead guys in the panel said, let me tell you my story. I grew up in the church. I studied theology. I went off to war, met a counselor, a chaplain. The chaplain told me the gospel. I said, I've never heard the gospel before. I've read all these books. I've gone to church my whole life. The chaplain says, why don't you go back and examine that? He picks up one of the books off his shelf, opens it up. On every page, gospel, good news, salvation, Jesus. He had underlined it. He never saw it. It was all right there. So we hear sometimes, but sometimes we don't see because we need Jesus to open our eyes. And Jesus says, I'm going to come bring light to darkness. And so all it takes is like, Jesus, I want to see. And so if you're having a hard time seeing what God is doing in the situation, the prayer is not get me out so much as God, help me see what you're doing. Open. So today, wherever you are, if you can't see yet, Just pray. You might be a person of great faith, but in the moment you can't see. And he wants to open your eyes. You might be a person that is in a why me situation. You're just going, okay, God, why me, why me? And it's like, I'm here. I'm going to fix this. Just trust me. So let's just pray and ask God to help us to see what he wants us to see. Let's pray. Father God, you know what we're going through, and you know some of us are kind of caught in that why me situation. And at the moment, we can't see anything. We can't see a way out. We can't see what you're doing, and it's dark and it's scary. And yet, we're here trusting you. And I pray for those that are in that situation. They just need the faith that this man had, that just go and do whatever you tell us to do, because you're going to work it out and help us to see with new eyes. But I also pray for anyone here today that just hasn't been able to see you, Jesus. They want to believe, they get it, they've read it, they've heard it, but it hasn't caused them to see yet. I pray for them, and I pray they're praying with me. God, open their eyes so they may see. See, Jesus has been looking for them and has found them, and he's standing right there, and he's just waiting for them. So I pray, Father, in this moment that you'll speak to our hearts, and I pray you'll open our eyes that we need you. Oh, we need you so badly in every situation. So speak to our hearts now as we move to communion. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, if you came and you're just kind of in that situation, you want someone to pray with you or pray for someone that you know, they're going to be over here with you praying for you. You don't have to give names or details if you want to. That's great. But we want to offer that. If you want to give your life to Jesus and go, I need to have my eyes open. I want to know the salvation. They'll be here for you. I'll be here as well. Just stop me and say, hey, I need to talk, and we can talk. Because we want you to walk out with the hope that this man walked out with today. And he just was able to see. He was able to see. For communion today, and we do communion every week as part of what we do, Paul, who had experienced blindness, had his eyes open. And his prayer for the church at Ephesus was this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. There's hope. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Pray that your heart may be enlightened in order that we may see and know the hope. It's powerful stuff for those who need hope, and that's what we come to communion for. It's where we find hope is in Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is open for you. We have tables on the side, one here in the middle, and we just ask you that when you're ready, after I pray, just come forward, receive it, and sit down and spend some time just praying and just thanking God for opening eyes as only he can do. So let's pray. Father God, I know for me it's already been a long morning. And I know for others it has been too. So we come before you just seeking you in all things. Feel that your spirit's moving in only the way your spirit can. So move in our hearts, speak to us, come into our lives, invade us, that we may feel the joy and the hope that only you can give. Thank you for this time of communion because Jesus has won the victory. He defeated death on the cross. There's nothing we're ever going to face that he can't overcome. And I thank you for that. So as we eat and drink, fill our hearts with your spirit and your love and your comfort and your peace and your direction. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're ready, come forward and receive communion.